You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from New York, it's the show that may make a huge comeback. It's first
things. Oh, no, they're get out the brooms, Astros.
Well, no,
we're getting swept out of Kansas City.
We're not talking about the Astros.
No, we're talking about the Royals.
Today,
you're right, buddy.
Denver comes through on a must-win. Wise people say no one is beating Denver in a seven-game series. You guys finally agree with me. Meanwhile, what do the Bills need to do in the draft to ensure Josh Allen's success? Coach Mangini joins us in a few minutes to discuss his favorite term, force multipliers. And finally, well, it's the most motivational segment in all of sports. It's the Bud List with a special heel turn, which means someone who used to be good turns bad.
Oh, is it Ryan and Brian?
Wow.
It is.
I'm afraid of this week's Bud List intro.
Oh, why?
Damn. I have no idea.
I didn't have a lot of time.
It just sounds like
I didn't know that. I just guessed.
Sounds like my feelings are going to
get hurt. No, not yours. Not yours at all. But we start with some interesting news from the world of Barbary. Tom Brady comeback? Question mark? Maybe. Here Tom Brady is on the Deep Cut podcast with Vic Blends, talking about a potential part-time Flacco-esque comeback. Take a listen.
Let's say one day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, head into the playoffs, offense is great.
Patriots,
somebody,
Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
MJ played 82.
Yeah, MJ came
only
back
17 games, so that's impossible. He come back for a few years. Yeah. All right, Nick, your immediate reaction. You spotted this story and were giddy.
Well, it's a crazy story. First of all, Tom, set your sights a little higher. I mean, the MJ Wizards comeback. Come on, you can do better. He can do better. I mean, he can
maybe
do better.
Maybe be the 10th seed.
I don't think that he wants to come back to be under 500. I find this fascinating. I wonder how much of this is because of Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, like I wonder, it's like, hold on a second. I can do that.
Yep.
I wonder how much of this is because he throws out their Patriots, which I find interesting because to me, there's only, I would dismiss the Raiders out of hand, even though he mentions them, because the Raiders are not going to be good. I'm not saying that as a Chiefs fan. I'm saying that because they are in the process of trying to rebuild.
You don't think they have more than the Patriots? No.
So that's what I kind of interrupted myself. Let me explain it. I think there is either the play quarterback for a contender that loses their quarterback path or final run with the team I played with forever, New England.
But the Wizards thing makes the MJ Wizards part ownership thing kind of has some parallels.
Right.
And Jordan had to give up his ownership, of course.
Yeah, but I don't think Tom's stuff is totally locked in yet.
Yeah, but I just also don't think that there's a reason, and we can, poke you guys. I'm not trying to do Jordan LeBron stuff, but in the Jordan stuff, we just kind of ignore the Wizards years. Like, when I bring them up, it's told it's unfair. It's because it's kind of like a weird blemish. Like, I don't think that's what – I know he mentioned the Raiders, and maybe he's more optimistic about the Raiders than I am. But I'll give you a team that if we were to have this thought exercise, hey, guys, I'm telling you, Tom Brady plays at least one game for a football team this year. You know, list them 1 through 32 from most to least likely. You know what team is sneaky high on the list of could be in contention, could have a playoff caliber roster that is in absolute win-now mode with a real potential of needing multiple quarterbacks? The New York Jets. And I know that makes you sick. I know that makes you sick. Well, but I'm just asking. If Rodgers were to go down in November, is that not the first call?
Absolutely.
It already happened, and they don't do that.
They didn't think he would come back.
Well, he wouldn't.
Now he's saying.
Not to the Jets.
And he looks like he's saying, you don't think he'd go to the Jets just because they're in the division?
No.
That the Patriots were in?
Just because they're the Jets. He's not ending his career with the Jets.
Okay, well.
We can move on to Joker now if you want to. We're not talking about Brady going to the Jets.
You're going to get mad again.
And then I'll shut up. Tell me if you agree here. Last year, Rodgers goes down minutes in. Even if they knew, Brady would do it, they were not going to do anything like that to Aaron and the relationship with
Aaron. Fair.
If Aaron gets hurt this year, I don't think the Jets are that worried about their relationship with Aaron moving forward. It's, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, it would mean it didn't work out. But if they were, and I don't think they're going to be that good, but you think they could be good, if they look like a contention adjacent and he goes down, so they're on the list. You know, the Rams, just because they have an old quarterback who's dealt with injuries.
So you're talking about if a guy gets injured,
exactly.
Because, see, I'm thinking not just if a guy gets injured. Yeah. I'm thinking, he mentioned Michael Jordan. You said it. Jordan came back for seasons. He didn't come back at the end of the year. Let's try to make a playoff run.
Well, he did.
Like Flacco did.
Sure.
That was baseball. But you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm thinking where could he go for a whole season? Because he looks like he wants to play. Why else do you say that? Tom Brady is media savvy. He understands what something like this, unless he was thinking, hey, it's this teenager or the young kid, nobody will see it.
He knows people are going to see it.
Okay, so if you know people are going to see it.
Several haircuts. Right, they're good.
Then you put that out there. You know what's coming next. You know everybody's going to be discussing. I think this, Nick. I think that athletes have, even Tom Brady, have been shackled to a degree by conventional wisdom historically. So my point is this. Brady obviously burst through a lot of conventional wisdom by playing until he's 45. But even he was thinking, 45. I can't keep playing. Even though he threw for 4,700 yards.
They were under 500.
He wasn't great. Season. But his numbers were good. 25 touchdowns, 9 picks.
And the year before, he almost won MVP.
Right. I thought he should have won MVP that year. So I think he just thought, 45. I said at one point I want to play till 45. I think maybe LeBron, who's been inspired by Brady, obviously, but maybe LeBron's inspiring Brady a little bit because LeBron's doing it in a sport where your athleticism at a position, at least, you know, is more,
of course.
You need it more than you do at quarterback in the NFL. So now is Brady saying, there's no limits. I'm just going to play until I'm not good anymore. And he's still good. So that's why I think the Raiders may, if you're talking about coming back for a season, I think the Raiders make sense. How about, and this would take some, you know, might hurt somebody's feelings, Miami?
Well, Miami? So you open that door, I'm going to burst
through it. You got receivers, you got running backs.
If we're going to talk about all
great
the teams.
Coach.
Hold on, if we're going to talk about all the teams who showed interest in Tom Brady before, but have quarterbacks who seemingly should have very secure jobs, that Purdy seat gets just as warm as Tua's. If we're being fair, Shanahan told him,
fair.
You're the starter unless we can get Tom.
I think that's fair. Here's my only issue with that. Because it is fair. But
I try to be
is Shanahan thinking Purdy is his guy
long
for the
term.
Next 10 years?
That's fair.
If you are, you don't want to do this. But and will he be better than Purdy? We know he'll be better than a ton of quarterbacks. Would he be better than Purdy next year?
Well, a little bit of it is how good does the team need to be when your quarterback goes down and how deep into the season? Like, do you think if the Browns called Brady exactly when they called Flacco, he would have gone? I don't.
I don't either.
I don't at that point.
I don't either, but if a team just like the Browns this coming year calls Brady at the exact time the Browns would have, now that there's like proof of concept with Flacco, you know what I mean? Does that change things? Like, to me, I think there is an element of that, because the thing is that you're trying to thread a needle here, obviously. But I think the Flacco thing probably, I bet Brady's not the only one. I bet there was, I don't know what he's doing, but I bet Philip Rivers watched that and was like, come on. I'd be better than Joe Flacco every year of my life. Like, what are we talking? I bet privately, Tony Romo said to Jim Nance, I can do this. You gotta be kidding me. You know what I mean? Like, I think if you're Tom, one of the things I respect about Brady immensely is I like my legendary athletes to love it so much.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's become very cool. I shouldn't say cool, in vogue, to, you know, don't be obsessed with your career and be well balanced. And that is good advice for happiness.
It's good
I
life
suppose.
Advice.
It's good yes. life advice.
Bad goat advice.
That's right. No, that is correct.
Bad goat
it's
advice.
Bad goat advice. Like, I saw during the Lakers-Warriors game, when that end of third quarter thing was happening, when the Warriors were blowing the game open, post-game there was a shot of LeBron sitting on the bench. He looked inconsolable. And I love that. I'm like, this dude is almost 40. He's in year 21, and it is burning him. And I bet Brady there's a level of when he's watching football, and you've been Wilds sharp on this, in that he, I don't want to say he's been dropping a lot of Easter eggs, but when he goes out and says publicly, it's not like this is being reported, he's saying it in front of cameras, hey, the quality of play, quarterbacking needs to be better.
Right.
All these things are, him talking about the game he loves, and I think missing it.
A run game, some receivers, and a defense? Why can't he do it?
The receivers part, we still need. But he did mention.
Oh, Patriots? That's why
I don't think the Patriots. It's not like, wow, if you're the Patriots fan, throwing out Tom Brady.
I think the Patriots, unless, and you and I kind of talked about this before, they trade the third pick for a bunch of draft picks, and then you go get some receivers. The defense is going to be good.
We don't need to trade the third pick. There's a receiver.
Oh, yeah, that's true too.
Oh,
that's true.
Draft.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So what? So as
and also stick it to the Colts, Marvin Harrison. You're like, you got to be kidding me.
So no, as a Pats fan, your heart started palpitating a little bit.
I mean, a little bit. He said it, and there's several layers of the onion. Belichick is gone.
Right.
Yeah, that's
the idea of Tom Brady coming back. No, it's something, and I don't know. I'm trying to think of a parallel. We're like, you know what? One last dance. I didn't leave the right way. I'm coming back for one final, half
season. Well, he brought up Jordan, and that last year in Chicago, we knew they were likely to get rid of Phil Jackson after that. And it was like
Iverson Sixers a little bit. I'm trying to find end it here as well.
I think if he plays, he wants to win.
Yeah, and the Patriots became more attractive for him because of Mayo. He won championships with Mayo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's
he's probably talked to him. Let's keep it real.
I'm sure he's talked to him about
at the very least, congratulations.
In that regard. I would be certain of it.
But even
I wonder how this is landing with Julian Edelman. He's like, whoa.
Also, by the way, I bet however it's landing with Julian Edelman, if I were you, man, I'd send Tom a text like, hey, man, I have a very popular podcast, too. Like, you can go ahead and break that news with me.
All right, more on this later in the show. A statement win in Denver. We'll head to the world of basketball. Joker goes for 41-11. Denver evens the season series with the Wolves, and they take their rightful place atop the West. Here's Joker on the MVP conversation. He doesn't love it. Take a listen.
The whole MVP conversation is kind of getting out of control, so I think I'm playing good basketball. The team is playing good basketball. I think a couple guys deserve to have that award.
Okay, so he thinks a couple guys deserve to have the award. Vegas disagrees. It's Joker minus 5,000. And Luka plus 2,900. And SGA pretty far behind there. So, Nick, are you surprised this is such a wide gap?
So, I want to preface my comments with this. If Joker wins, he's already a two-time MVP. And I'll just show you the list real quick of three-time, and two-time, three-time, and then four-time plus MVPs. So he's on that list. He would move over to that next list. And you know what? That's fair.
He's good.
He's
enough.
That caliber Absolutely. Of player.
Better,
he's better than Moses. He's better than Moses. And he could finish his career better than Bird. I wouldn't say it's likely, but I think it's on the board. But right now, so I think some people look at it like, ah, he's going to be three times. You know what? And that's coming from me, who had a much higher bar than most for Joker and the MVPs.
Stop you there, though?
Yeah.
It's like Tim Duncan's on the two-time.
Well, MVP, and the right? No, it's not all. It's not. It's
I
not
know,
a
but
direct,
it's just like two
and Kobe
has got a lot.
And Shaq are on the one-time
yeah,
MVP
so,
list. I get that. So it's not all. My point is, last year I was apoplectic about the idea of three in a row, and he hadn't won yet, and all of those things. So I'm not against the idea of Nikola Jokic winning this award. He would be a deserving champion. I am against those odds, and that the narrative has been set for months that this is done. Since Embiid went down, this has been done. The straw poll of voters, February 13th, Joker had 69 first place votes, Shea had 24, Luka had 3. The straw poll 10 days ago, Joker had 85 first place votes. Shea had 10. Luka had 1. I am here to tell you, Luka, Joker, Joker, Luka this year, and you're a voter, I'm not, Brew, is it's like high school debate. You walk into it not knowing which side you're going to have to argue, and you can make an equally strong case in either direction. And I think, Luke, if we, I'll show the numbers and then give it to Brew. The traditional stats favor Luka. It's close, and we can show it to you, I think. It's close, but Luka's having a historic season as far as points per game. First ever 33-9-9. The only since the merger, higher point per game seasons are 2 by Jordan, 2 by Harden, 1 by Kobe. So Luka's got him in those. The advanced numbers go back to Joker. Joker has him. Listen, Luka's awesome, but Joker leads everything in the advanced numbers. The season head-to-head is Luka's been far better in those games, but the Mavs are 1-2 in those games. And then the last time they played, which was a big deal last year, in theory it was going to be, Luka was outstanding. The Mavs won, and Joker had one of, by his standards, worst games of the year. My point is this, Brew. They've got 50 wins now. He's having a historically great season. I think Luka Doncic should be even money, and Jokic should be even money for MVP instead of what it is.
The reason it is what it is one, you showed the analytical numbers. And a lot of the voters, particularly the younger voters, they put the analytic numbers ahead of the traditional numbers. I don't. I look at both, but I'm still big into the traditional numbers. All right. So I think that's one thing. And the other thing is this. It shouldn't be the case, but we're human. Joker start, and this is why, in addition to the advanced numbers, this is why he's ahead, and as you said it, has been the leader since Embiid went down. He started this regular season with an advantage.
Yes.
He started this regular season way out in front of everybody else for these reasons. One, everybody saw what he did in the finals and the playoffs. He averaged a triple-double in the playoffs. Secondly, a lot of people felt like he should have won last year and that, you know, race came into play and all of that. So people entered this season feeling like
he was owed one.
Luke, yeah, he's owed one. And in fact, if he wins it this year, he will start next season at a disadvantage.
That's
because people feel like, okay, he's got three.
Yep.
We evened it out. That's just human nature.
And
now,
do you think Luka started this year at a slight disadvantage because of
well,
how
I
his
think
season
everybody
ended?
Did because I don't think so much because of the season ended. I just
got
think
it.
Jokic was
okay.
so far
Go
out ahead.
Sorry.
Now,
yeah.
I do think Embiid.
And Luka tanked
yeah,
the end
that's
of
what
season.
I thought.
One person was
yeah,
the final.
I mean, that's
the
what I mean.
Guy
it doesn't
some people
would
have held it against
draft
yeah.
pick.
Yeah.
Embiid played so well that I do think he moved ahead of Jokic. Like before he got hurt. He was playing so well, you had to just give it to him. This is my criteria.
Individual statistics and play, dominance, impact, all right? Advanced and regular. One loss record, all right? Now, here's the thing. Jokic, when he's healthy, they have played on a 57-win pace, or the games he's played in. When Luka's played in the games he's played in, they played on a 54-win pace.
That's right.
The record should not hold him back. In fact, Jokic is one of the few who has won it without winning 50 games. Yeah. He won it a year as the sixth seed
with 48
wins, right? Yeah, and Giannis's numbers were great. Yeah. There were a lot of guys whose numbers were great. So it's like, how do you, as great as Jokic is, how do you justify that? So the record should not be held against him. They're a fifth seed. Jokic won it. Russell Westbrook won it as a sixth seed. We get it. He was a triple-double that year. All right. Then I look at the supporting cast. They're both really good, but you obviously got to give the edge to Denver because they won a championship and they have a championship coach
now.
No
question.
Right. I mean, but Dallas has Denver's got the advantage. And then I do look at historical precedent and historical ramifications. Like you showed that. Mm-hmm. I think, unfortunately, we look back and say, Shaq's got one.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an embarrassment for us as voters. Like, how does Shaq only get one? How does Kobe only have one? Like, really? Mm-hmm. And I also think if someone takes the approach now, a voter, you know what? Best player in the league, period. And if it's Jokic for the next 6 years, he's getting it. That's not fair to Jordan. It's not fair to LeBron because they didn't get it. So
no,
I feel
like people are trying to right it wrong when they do that?
Yeah, but this matters historically. So I continue
to be wrong?
No, it's not wrong because I don't think MVP is just best player in the world because then we wouldn't even have to play the game.
It should be best
season. We knew it was Jordan for a decade. We knew it was LeBron for a decade. And there's always – the great players always have great seasons. This isn't the first time you can say Jokic could get it or Luka could get it or Shai Gilgeous. They're always the great players, all-time greats, always have great seasons.
So go ahead.
And this is going to shock some people, but right now, the ballots, we'll be getting them within the next couple of days. This is my top five right here.
Oh, let me see. We're going to –
I think we have it.
Oh, I hope we have it.
Read it.
Yeah.
At number five, Giannis.
Okay.
Number four, Jason Tatum.
Okay.
Three, SGA.
Okay, not shocked so far.
Two, Jokic.
Wow.
Come on. One, Luka. The number start. He's leading the league in scoring and second in assists.
So,
and the team is playing great basketball.
How great.
So what 50 wins.
They got 50 wins.
So wait a second. Wait, gosh darn it.
Denver playing when they won 48? And Jokic got it.
What place are they in?
Right now,
they're the fifth seed.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Jokic won it as a sixth seed.
Hold on. I'm not talking about old times. Hold on.
It was like three years ago.
So you think for MVP, it should only be the one seed?
No, I'm saying right now, if you're saying, ooh, it's so close, the advanced number is this,
right,
the official number is that, but one guy is the one seed and one guy is the fifth seed, I think the tie should go to the
one of the biggest reasons that it is close is because of where Jokic is in the standings. If these standings were flipped, it would be a runaway in Luka's direction.
Yes.
And so
lot of people still would look at those advanced numbers look at Jokic.
That's fair. Here's where I think there is – I'm going to use the Bontemps straw poll as evidence of something. I think there's a weird – the media just was late to the party on the season Luka was having and now has decided it doesn't count. Because in December – when he did the straw poll, before Embiid got hurt, it was 63 votes for Embiid, 21 for Joker. And what was the reason? Because Embiid was averaging 35 a game.
Yeah.
Well, Luke is averaging 34.
Right. Embiid's rebounds equivalent to Luka's assists.
Exactly.
And he's still giving you 9 rebounds.
They have been one of the best teams in basketball for months now. And so the team part of it is, I went to the Ringer's top 100 players.
Mm-hmm.
So the Nuggets have 5 guys. The Mavs have 2 guys.
Do you know why that is?
So you're saying Joker makes everyone better. I agree with that.
Jalen Brunson was on that team.
He decided to leave because
he couldn't reach his potential.
No, that is not
true.
They wouldn't pay him. Not true.
Why would they pay him?
They made a mistake. They didn't think he was the guy. But it's working with Kyrie.
How's Porzingis doing in Boston?
Hold on, that's three years. Right.
That's the thing. Was he thriving with Luka
Dallas?
Because I could turn it around and say no one else other than LeBron has been able to make it work with Kyrie. In a lot of cases, people would give Luka credit. He's made it work with Kyrie.
He's Batman, I'm Robin, it's the reverse. He's made Gafford a really good player.
All those guys. And he made the conference finals with nobody. And when Joker didn't have Jamal Murray there in round one. So don't do the teammate thing. I'm here to defend Joker.
He's making everyone better.
Right. That's
Aaron Gordon all of a sudden. Yes. He won the slam dunk.
That's great. He's a great player.
But the idea that Luka's not making Derek Lively better is insanity.
Make him a top 100 player. Welcome back to an electric show. Coach Mangini's here with us. We're talking Texans. FoxSports.com reporter Ben Author says that on paper, Katanik wrote this. Stephon makes Houston one of the AFC's elite teams. But downside, according to Katanik, the Texans actually don't play on paper. They play on Matrix turf with Helix technology.
Well, maybe Ketta wouldn't have to write your scripts if you showed up to work on time, buddy.
So are the Texans getting too much hype, Nick?
Coach, can you see my foot down here?
I can.
What is this?
You know what I'm doing?
Don't say
pumping
toes
the brakes.
I'm pumping the brakes just a bit.
Oh, I thought you were doing a toes down thing.
No, just a bit.
Bruise brand.
Listen, I really like CJ.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not be impressed, sorry for the double negative, about D'Amico. And I think they are doing what you should do if you might have, and I think do have, a stud quarterback on a rookie contract, which is pouring resources into the team. With all that said, last year, this was either the 12th or 14th ranked offense, depending on which metric Brew wants to like this week. And they are either the 14th or 11th ranked defense. So, you know, slightly above average on both sides of the ball. With a last place schedule in a division that every other team had their quarterback go down.
Hmm.
And so they are going a long ways of sending Joe Flacco back into retirement and what that was. Because if you remember, week 18 was a playoff game and Gardner Minshew has it down inside the 15 to beat them and then, you know, to send them home. So I think the Texans are on the come. I think they're good. I like what they're doing. If I were a fan there, I would feel like salvation is here after 3 years in the wilderness. Are they real threats for the Arrowhead Invitational? I need to see a little more.
So just show up.
I need to see a little more.
They are.
A little more. They think they are. I need to see a little more against a first-place schedule and all of that.
They are absolute threats. All right. Now, I've said it from the moment they got Stephon. There, I got the Chiefs and the Ravens on one tier, and right below is the
Ravens
Texans.
On the same tier as the Chiefs?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Where's the board?
Because if they kept running the ball, they might have won the Super Bowl. Yeah. But I've got the Texans right below them. But elite team, absolutely. You mentioned the rankings of the offense and the defense. They're getting better. I've even said I want to see CJ do it for a second straight year before I crown him. But every quarterback in recent memory who has had a rookie year even close to his, Big Ben, Dan Marino, that wasn't really recent him,
no.
Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Cam Newton, they all proved to be good quarterback, really good.
Justin
they didn't
Herbert
like
had, yeah.
take a huge step back. RG3, but obviously injury had something to do with that. So if CJ is going to be this, they added Diggs to a receiving core that's already good. They got Joe Mixon. They add Danielle Hunter to a defense that's already good. Will Anderson's only getting better. What's not to like? And the coach, D'Amico Ryans, we've seen defensive players. Antonio Pierce, I know it's early with him. But Vrabel, guys like this have some success. So, Coach, I think they are elite and they've got – they're right in that conversation with who's going to challenge the Chiefs in AFC.
I thought what was most interesting is there's a team in Texas that said they were going all in, and there's a team in Texas that went all in. And what Houston did, first time in history, right, where they added a 1,000-yard rusher, a receiver with 100 catches, and a defensive lineman who's had over 10 sacks, and he actually had 16 and a half sacks. So you go add that amount of talent to the amount of talent that they had already, it's pretty significant. In the draft, they've got 9 draft picks. They've got the 12th most salary cap space, so they can still improve the team as cuts happen after the draft. So there's that opportunity as well. So all those things, to me, I think are great. And when you look at the division, I know that Nick is really high on
I'm not that high on the Richardson. Jags. I'm high on the
He's
Trevor.
Really high on Richardson.
Richardson.
In Indianapolis. He's obviously an emerging star with his 11 completions. So there's that. The Prince, we don't know where he is. Tennessee,
right.
It's a new
They're
regime.
Trying to go for it.
Yeah, we'll see how that unfolds. But to Nick's point, you do have to pump the brakes because you don't know how the sophomore season's going to play out. Everybody's studying the team. It's a totally different equation. I said this with Detroit. There's learning how to deal with adversity, and then there's learning how to deal with success. Oh. So how well they deal with success, and Detroit did a much better job than I anticipated. How well this team deals with success, expectations. Giants went to the playoffs a year ago and then had a step back. So it's not uncommon to see it go the other way as well, even with all the resources that have been poured into this.
Coach, last year CJ had 4,100 yards, 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. NFL source, former coach, told me, year one, you, as a QB, you learn what you can do. Year two, you learn what you can't do. I don't know if you've ever heard that. How do you think that manifests for CJ? Also, Coach is the one that told me that.
Well, it's look, as defensive coordinators start to really study you and evaluate your strengths and your weaknesses, it's a copycat league. So whatever weakness you have, you're going to get a boatload of it. And whatever strengths you have, everybody's going to work to take that away. So now you got to see whether or not you can develop a second pitch. And as things get more complicated and as the stakes rise, how well do you respond to that? Last year, they're playing with house money. Nobody expected anything from them. So everything they did was great. This year, the pressure's on.
So to me, there's two teams that are in very similar buckets that people are understandably super optimistic about in two different in both conferences. And I just feel my antennae say one of them is going to – we're going to be like, man, what happened to them? And it's the Packers and the Texans.
Yeah, I knew right.
Because both of them essentially had rookie quarterbacks.
Right.
Both of them, as of early November, were on no one's radar. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about the quarterbacks, the teams. They were around 500. It's like, eh. And then both of them – the quarterbacks and the teams got red hot at the end. CJ got hurt at the end. He was having a good year throughout. Won a playoff game or multiple playoff games. And now you look around come August, Super Bowl picks, and they're going to be like a trend, both of them, trendy Super Bowl, like, oh, this is my outside of the box. Yeah. And I just think, I know it's kind of a logical fallacy to be like, one of them's not going to reach expectations. But it feels to me like one of them is going to have from the schedule being tougher to the teams having more tape on the quarterback to some of the young players' progression not being linear, just
five
stub
interceptions.
Your toe here.
I mean, it's
too few. Too few interceptions? Too few. Is that the take?
But that's what he does.
I love when Nick
five?
Is the voice of reason.
Thank you, Coach.
He's going to play 17 games and throw
possibly?
No, I'll take
like Aaron Rodgers doesn't throw picks. So
until
some
when,
guys
bro.
Are like
until
that.
When.
Russell Wilson was optimistic about his new team and his goals for the year. Telling Essence to play. 13 years in the NFL has been a dream come true. To be able to play for Mike Tomlin, stand side by side with him and try to accomplish all the goals that I want to accomplish with the Steelers organization and what that represents for the NFL is one of the greatest gifts in the world. Drew, are the Steelers set up to succeed?
Well, Coach, because I give reasoned commentary on this show, I have been named the Russell Wilson guy. Yeah. All I'm doing is saying he was solid last year. Not great, but 26-9, I think, 26 touchdowns.
Right.
Top 5, top 6 in passer rating.
Do you think those
was solid.
Fair representations of his play?
They were slightly above his play, but still, he was solid.
So
that's all
close
I'm saying.
To like the 8th or
and the Steelers go 10-7 with the worst quarterback play this side of the Meadowlands. All right? You throw in Russell, even if Russell, I think he'll be better than he was last year. But if he is just what he was last year, the only problem for the Steelers is the division. I mean, the it's just who's not making the playoffs out of that division? Obviously, Pittsburgh. One or two teams, possibly. But look, they got a very good defense coach. You got a championship coach. You got you always belittle the running backs. Najee Harris, all he does is run for 1,000 yards
Najee
every
Harris
year.
Not good.
All he does every single year of his career, 1,000 yards. Wow. Jalen Warren had 5 yards.
Imagine
hold on. But because you got Jalen Warren getting 5 yards a carry and splitting time with him.
Jaylen
so they got
Warren
running backs.
Has 1,000 yards
the defense
for his career.
Is covered, they got – he averaged 5 yards a carry last year.
Okay.
I was one of the early to the party on Tony Pollard. But, you know, that's all. Jalen Warren played well. That's what I'm saying. I know running backs.
And then when Tony Pollard got his own team, how'd it work out?
No,
buddy?
I mean, they needed somebody. They needed
a
mediator.
Yeah. Okay.
They needed
right.
a mediator. That's
I
their fault. That's the Cowboys. No surprise there. George Pickens? George Pickens is one of the most talented.
Unhappy.
Now, he hasn't lived up to it.
Okay.
One of the most talented receivers. They draft a good receiver. Then what's not to like about this
Go
move?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I love this move. I love this move.
Thank you, Coach.
20 more touchdowns than Kenny Pickett.
Listen.
18 points higher in terms of quarterback rating. Another 6% higher in terms of completion percentage. Yep. So you've got that component to it. He's got experience, and you may, you know, people may think he's corny or whatever however they classify him, but he's got Super Bowl experience. He understands how to win. So let's look at this in combination with Justin Fields. So you bring the two of them together. It costs $5 million yep. for those two guys combined. Can we show this graphic? It's $4.4 million. Look at the guys making more than Russ and Justin Fields combined. Now, the Steelers could play both those guys. I would have a Justin Fields package. I would have a Russell Wilson package. Defensive coordinators have to get ready for both of them. It's really difficult. Justin Fields can come in and do things that Russ can't do. And you're only spending $4.4 million on those two guys. It's an incredible upgrade for them. It gives them a chance to win. And now it also gives you a chance to see whether or not Justin Fields can develop into something better than he's been so far. It is an absolute great situation for them. Huge upgrade at $4.4 million.
It's great economics. There's no question about it. The problem is if Russ doesn't win the job, he can't be on the team. And you want to know why, Brew? Because we showed you the words from the Essence magazine cover story. We didn't show you the pictures.
I thought the pictures
were
awesome.
The sexiest man of the
okay,
moment.
Okay, well, I just think because, Coach, I'll show it to you, Coach, because it really doesn't seem like the type of thing that you
that's
support
cool.
from
Love
your,
it.
Hold on,
that's
wait, cool wait, wait, wait a second,
hold
guys.
On, that's
I
just
have
right
that
on.
Suit.
No, wait, can I be serious for a moment?
These are cool pictures.
We have heard about Baker Mayfield when he was at the peak of his powers. Doing commercials and how much of a nuisance that is, in your opinion. Wait a moment. Wait
how
a moment.
How many Super Bowls had he won?
Wait a moment. Hold on. Oh. Wait, how many Super Bowls has Russell Wilson won since the first Obama administration? Give me a break.
Enough to take those pictures.
No. This is why Russ has to be the starter. And if he's not, he can't be on the team. Because this guy is not a backup. He doesn't think he is. He doesn't carry himself like he is.
He's
he is not open to the idea of it.
$1.2 million.
I understand, Coach.
Guys, because you usually don't want a celebrity as your backup.
I get that,
but here's the difference, though. Let's say 4 games in, you go to Fields, and he's worse than Russ over the next 5 games. But knowing the Steelers, you're still in the hunt.
Uh-huh.
I would keep Russ just because maybe we'll throw him back in there.
But he's
play him both.
What
options does he have?
Play both guys.
All right. That guy right there is not doing a quarterback timeshare.
Yes,
you gotta admit, though.
He's out there thinking he's still
you
a star.
You think he's corny. Those pictures were not corny.
Okay.
Right now, we're looking at vintage video of Tom Brady in beautiful creamsicle jerseys, the practice jersey for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You'll probably never see him on a football field again. Or maybe you might. Here he is on the Deep Cut podcast with Vic Blends.
Take a look at this idea from LeBron.
We get it. You're 100% retired.
Yes.
Let's say one day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs, offense is great.
Patriots,
somebody,
Raiders,
look,
could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I mean, I'm feeling great.
And I should be fair, because now that I've heard it again, he said to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, and I said, you don't want to be MJ with the Wizards. So he's talking about, I think, maybe MJ. I guess that would mean he throws a pick six in round two to lose in the playoffs. I don't know what the Nick Anderson version in the NFL is, but it doesn't
totally
matter.
Different.
The point remains.
Yeah, totally
Coach, I found a lot of this fascinating. The fact that he offered up the Patriots is really noteworthy because for me, the idea of a Brady comeback has always been threading the very small needle of team in contention, quarterback goes down, a Flacco situation, but with a better team. Then, you know what I mean? That if the Niners, a team, you know what I mean? And the Niners, one of the best teams, but just because he'd been attached to them and he comes in. He throws the Patriots out there. I don't think he believes the Patriots are a Tom Brady away from contention, as much as he believes in himself.
I'm more with you, Wilds.
I'm Tom Brady. I'm the GOAT, dude. Anywhere I go, I make it work.
Well, I'm not limiting him to coming back for the last five games of the regular season if somebody gets hurt. When he throws out Patriots, they're not getting to the playoffs without him. And when I think Patriots, I'm thinking, oh, he's there for the season. And then they go get a Marvin Harrison Jr. with the draft or whatever. And that defense, obviously he knows Mayo. I don't think it's a Joe Flacco situation. I think it's like a whole season.
Has he ever said anything even close to that? Like, I thought last year he was going to play for the 49ers. I thought he was definitely coming back and playing somewhere last season. And I was really surprised when he didn't. But the fact that he says that as definitively as he says it, and he throws out the Patriots, imagine if he goes back to the Patriots and suddenly they have success again, and the whole, like, Belichick versus Brady argument, what that means. But I could see him come every year, there's a team in contention, and maybe every other year, and someone gets hurt late, and then they have a backup quarterback.
So you think he would wait?
I could see that happening as well.
Either or.
Maybe it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe it's Patrick Mahomes gets dinged up. Tom Brady comes in and they win their third straight Super Bowl with Tom Brady. How amazing would that be?
Listen, I don't know.
Maybe it's
Coach. I know you've been traveling the world. The Chiefs signed Carson Wentz, so I want to ask you about this, Coach.
That Tom Brady has made a lot of movie like things happen in his career.
Well, then,
so why?
What about this?
Why not do it again?
If you're Mike McDaniel, are you saying to them, like, if they know in their mind, we're 70% sure we're not, Tua's not our guy going forward.
But if I'm Gerard Mayo and I can get someone with 268 more wins than Jacoby Brissett, yeah, I'm probably up for it. Sign me up right now for Tom Brady back over Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappi. Come on.
And maybe Jaden Daniels.
He'll be in Washington.
They better go get the receivers.
Whatever Brady does or doesn't do, I don't think it's going to happen in the next 14 days. And so because of that, the Patriots cannot operate their draft plan.
But he can talk to them.
No, I understand, but I don't... So my point is, if the Patriots right now are leaning towards quarterback, this podcast can't change that.
That is not a rational
way to run an organization.
No, but even if you go get a rookie quarterback, typically the best thing to do is to have him sit for a year. So, and who better to learn behind than Tom? If you go get a draft pick, at the third overall draft pick, and you can have him sit behind Tom Brady, and I don't want to be disrespectful to Jacoby, but there's a big difference between who you're learning from in that situation.
But don't you also think it's likely that he's talked to Mayo or talking to Mayo, just as a man-to-man, former teammates?
Of course.
But I just think when you put it out there, as clearly as he put it out there, it sounds like he's open for business.
If he wants to come back, I'm sure the Patriots will know. Before the draft.
I also think the smartest thing for him would be to wait. There are no good teams right now that need a quarterback. There just aren't. Like, good teams don't need a quarterback. That's right. There's not a team right now that we look at and is like, what was the team that we think was the most ready-made team that was a quarterback away? Atlanta? Atlanta's not a Super Bowl contender.
Like when Kirk went down and Josh Dobbs.
Right. And so, I think that if he really wants to play football, then the answer is to wait and see how the year plays out. And you talked about storybook stuff, man. This would be storybook in a lot of ways. It might really hurt Pats fans. But if you're asking me, Nick, give me a list of teams that could be Super Bowl caliber rosters that have, you know, are more likely than others to deal with a quarterback injury over the course of the year and are apt and have no backup plan and are in win now mode.
We got to go to break.
That's the New York Jets, buddy.
We got to go to break.
That is the New York Jets who have built everything around a 40-year-old quarterback.
True. Yeah, I can see it in New York.
There he makes all the sense in the whole world.
Stop.
Wild.
If bad enough seeing you suit up.
Live from New York, it's the show that has a devastatingly emotional heel turn in store for you. It's the second hour of First Things First. Oh, my goodness. Today, Caleb responds to a report that says he hasn't faced any adversity. He says, oh, yeah, I have. And then he kind of dissed himself.
Strange.
Yeah, meanwhile, Brady comeback. Why one of Brew's favorite quarterbacks should be very nervous. Mm. That's coming up soon.
Wow.
But right now, let me get
caught
up to speed. It's Thursday, which means it's time for the most motivational segment in all of sports. It's also time for we read a little bit of viewer mail. The year 2024, we get a ton of viewer mails. We have a lot of loyal viewers who love the show. Dear Wilds, love the show. Well, thank you. Why did you say we weren't real last week?
Oh.
We're as real as your chestnut brown hair. It was gray last week, dude. This is our last letter. We're on to JJ and LeBron's show. Good riddance, Ryan and Brian.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I accidentally said Ryan and Brian weren't real, and then they came with fire. A real heel turn.
That is a real hero.
I'll tell you who needs some motivation. Ryan and Brian and the whole, whatever their last name is, family.
Wow.
Stay tuned to this drama.
No, Cowboys.
That is intriguing.
Just a heel
right,
turn.
That's what I'm
wondering. What's going on?
Okay. We're, no Cowboys.
No, okay. Aaron, I guess okay. It's yours, Brew. Take it away.
Well, at number three, Ryan and Brian. No. this is a legend. Before we go to Steph, legendary Bud list this week.
Wow.
This is probably the most star-studded Bud list ever.
Excellent.
Okay, ever. I mean, it's just straight up legends on this one. Starting with Mr. Steph Curry. I gotta be honest, I'm shocked by how well the Warriors have played this year. All right, I mean, since the All-Star break, they've got the fourth best record in the league. Not just the West, the league. All right, so they're playing well. And I have thought that the dynasty is over. This is the end of it. Going to end unceremoniously this year, and then they'll move on, let Trey walk or whatever, maybe try to trade Draymond. But there's a way to avoid that. If they make a deep playoff run, second round, maybe conference finals, then they can convince ownership, hey, we're like a piece away. Let's go get the right guy, and then we can still compete, and maybe Klay, Steph, and Draymond are back. The downside, if they go out early, if they go out in the play-in, don't even make the playoffs, it probably is the end of an era. So that is what is on the line for Steph Curry. So, Steph, I do believe in you. Let's see you guys make a run. At number two, now all of these guys, and I'm going to give you a hint. There are three of them, obviously. One of them at least will not make the playoffs this year, even though they are still putting up terrific numbers. All right, that's why they're on the Bud list, because one of them is going to fall short. I don't think it's going to be this guy, but he's number two, the great LeBron James.
Wow.
All right.
Star-studded.
Yeah, look. And we know LeBron is having the best season ever at this stage of anybody's career. But LeBron doesn't just play for numbers. He plays for rings. He's still chasing that ghost in Chicago. Now, even if LeBron and a smattering of
larger,
other people believe that he's already caught MJ, the one thing that could seal it for him is more rings. Plural. Rings. All right? And for him to go out there, you know, he's got to go out there and try to get rings. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. You got to at least make the playoffs. All right, so they cannot get bounced in the play-in. He's playing with house money, as are all these guys. But still, you get bounced in the play-in, don't even make the playoffs, and it will put a damper on what has been a phenomenal individual season this late in LeBron's career. So, LeBron, you know, I believe in you. And at number one, this one is has the most on the line, I would say. Kevin Durant. All right, now, like Steph and LeBron, his legacy is sealed. Top 20-ish player of all time. But unlike Steph and LeBron, his winning legacy is complicated. Let's put it that way, right? It's complicated. Some look at it and they put a mental asterisk there. And the fact that, I mean, he's a great player, but he's not a great GM. We can all admit that, all right? You go to Brooklyn, put this team together, and I know injuries did you in.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I know that better than anybody, but you didn't get anything done there. All right, now you say, I want to go to Phoenix, great team, put it all together, and now you guys might miss the playoffs? Mm. And this, if they miss the playoffs, this will just lead more people to, you know, look funny at the way Kevin Durant has won his rings. And here's the thing. The bar is lowering every year. First, when he went there, it was, oh, championship. Now, then it became, just get to the finals. Then it became conference finals.
That'd be nice. That'd
be nice. Now it is, just make the playoffs. Like, the bar's not going any lower. Yeah. All right? The bar's not going any lower, KD. Again, nobody's asking for a championship. Just make the playoffs, my man. I believe in you. It's the Bud List.
Great Bud List, as always.
It's a legendary Bud List.
Yeah, look, if Ryan and Brian are watching, there's no way they can leave this because it's obviously the best segment.
They watch it
consistently over and over again.
Yeah, this will bring them back.
And it is star-studded. And I'm going to add another star from the NFL. And it's a star coach. It's Sean Payton. Ooh. And how do you know he's a star? You know he's a star because they gave up a number one for him, and they gave up this year's number two for him, and they made him the highest paid head coach in the league, and he's an offensive genius, and they brought him in to fix the problems. And the problem was Russell Wilson. Now Russell Wilson's gone. Then you've got Jerry Jeudy, who was a former first-round draft pick. They were going to fix him. Now he's gone. You've got $67 million in dead money, which is a quarter of your cap, and That's not what they signed up for. They didn't sign up for destruction. They signed up for construction. And so if they didn't win last year and they didn't have a winning record, they're seven seasons in a row with losing record. And if they don't win again this year, so now we're pushing this into potentially year three. Why not go get DeMeco Ryans or a young head coach if you're going to blow up the whole roster and don't pay him very much money if that's the route you're going to go? So you've got Harbaugh in the division. You've obviously got to deal with Patrick Mahomes. You've got all these issues. You don't have a quarterback. You've got a ton of dead money, and they've given up so much to get you, and you took some shots at the previous guy who was there. So at this point, you gotta produce at a really high level. When I was with Parcells at the Jets, we took over a team that was 1-15 back-to-back years, and we were in the AFC Championship 2 years later.
No, well done, Coach. Because you mentioned, I mean, Parcells, Harbaugh, where he's been, Andy Reid. When these ultra elite coaches go to places, they turn them around pretty quickly. So, I don't see how they're going to have a good season. But if they don't, like you said, that's not what they brought Peyton in for. So, that's a good one. Okay. No doubt.
I'm adding Brock Purdy to the Bud List.
Wow.
And I'm sorry. Tom Brady did a recent podcast that came out today.
Oh, this is Vic the heel Blends. Turn.
Oh, the heel turn. Heel turn was right.
Well, this is another one. There's two. You dropped two.
A double heel turn?
Yeah, double heel turn.
The double was Ryan and Brian.
Brock Purdy is on the Bud List. Why, you might ask? Well, Tom Brady was on a podcast with Vic Blends, and he was asked, like, hey, if anything ever happened, would you consider playing again? Now, the answer that you could give is pretty simple. Nope.
Right.
I'm kind of beyond that. Like, if you ask me, like, hey, Kevin, I know you were a great ice cream scooper at Ben & Jerry's in Mystic, Connecticut. Do you have any interest in going back? I wouldn't be like, well, you know, if I get hungry for ice cream, I would just be like, no. I don't do that anymore. But Tom Brady left the door open, went through a few teams. He mentioned the Raiders. He mentioned the Patriots. He talked about maybe some amorphous team that was really good if something happened.
Now, we're not going to wish injury on anyone, of course not, even talk about it. But you're also a half step away from...
What if he plays poorly?
What if he plays poorly?
What if he's
good but not great? What if he has a little bit of a regression that Coach talks about? That it's a little bit more tape. What if you have a little bit of the, had a few too many Coronas at the at the Super Bowl, called Super Bowl hangover. Well, and Shanahan says, you know what? Let me text you. You up?
Well, the chances of Purdy not playing well are unlikely. I mean, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen him not play well in the NFL, okay? That said, I mean, maybe a game, two, three games, whatever. But he's been very good.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was very good in the Super Bowl. But look, I mean, Tom Brady, he's Tom Brady. You'd have to think about it if Brock gets hurt. But like I said earlier, if they're thinking about Purdy as their quarterback for the next 7 to 10 years, then you wouldn't want to do something like this. But Shanahan is desperate for a Super Bowl.
You know what? You could have just done it. If he gets hurt, bring him on. He gets even better. He's already so good. He can learn from the GOAT.
I don't think you want to go back to the bench.
All right, don't put mine up yet because this is going to be another heel turn.
Wow.
The third heel turn.
So some advice I was given or I've heard, I think it's cliche, something if you're at a job. Like, be careful about showing your boss or your coworkers all the things you can do, or else they will expect you to do it. And it is because of that, I have to regrettably, once again, put Kevin Wilds on the Bud list.
This head start started.
Brew, what is the, I don't know if it's advice, but what do you ask Wilds to do at least 3 or 4 times a week?
It's true.
What do you ask him to do?
Let the tiger out.
Here's the thing, Coach. On Tuesday, Wilds accidentally did. And appears to have been so embarrassed by it, even though it was spectacular, he had it scraped from all interwebs. Don't you worry, America, because I have a cut for you so you can get an idea of what you could be experiencing on a daily basis on First Things First. Play the video, please.
What do we need to get in? That's what I'm asking. That's what it feels like.
What
do you want it to be? What should it be then? What should it be? If you don't want it to be Count the Rings, what do you want it to be?
Consistent excellence.
Oh, give me a break. Consistent excellence. It's just nonsense. I'm legit mad about this.
So by that.
Rip my shirt off.
So by that, the Celtics and the Toronto Raptors.
That's ridiculous. I'm in the Blue Man group.
All right. So. Kevin Wilds, you finally did let the tiger out. It was great television.
Because you're like, consistent excellence.
It was excellent. Oh. Yay, there you go.
I'm a high-achieving TGI Fridays manager. We're looking for a consistent excellence. We're looking for championships.
There you go.
Like, no, Duke is... It's the whole LeBron thing.
It's not a LeBron thing. But there
it's
you go.
Andy Reid thing. We play the games to win.
Yeah.
We play the games to win. And when you get a championship, you're like, wow, Andy Reid is so good because he has these championships.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's as good as Belichick. Man. I'm like, hold on a second. Belichick has literally 3 times as many championships. Like, oh, man, it's about consistent excellence.
Yeah, exactly. there you go.
That's the tiger.
Brew, I understand he's the leader.
No one likes that.
Once a week, Wilds. We need you to all of a sudden be sweating
trying
with
to be
anger.
America's sweetheart.
No, well, that's not gonna work.
You're the bad boy.
You're
the bad boy now.
Caleb Williams disses himself. Next up, First Things First. Gosh darn it. Caleb responding to some critics. Greg McElroy was a guest on Kevin Clark's This Is Football podcast. That's nice for search engine optimization. Expressed concerns that Caleb has never experienced adversity and wondered if he even had a chip on his shoulder. Caleb took notice and decided to respond on Twitter. So he said, let's go back to school. He's bored. Adversity, and he put the definition. He said, year one, I didn't start my freshman year. In year two, I popped my hammy in the championship game in the first quarter. That's why we lost. In year three, for the record, I was 7-5. So take that.
I thought it was an interesting way to respond. Yeah.
He put up a lot of points. He can't play defense.
Yeah, that's true.
Nick, Caleb can't miss. He's your guy.
Well, you know what is a good, if you're not a total draft Nick, if you're not doing dozens and dozens of mock drafts like me, you know what a good rule of thumb, if you want to get an idea of who's going to be really good and who's not, is all of the criticism or all of the praise of a certain player about everything but football.
Oh, that's a good take.
So for Caleb, he is criticized exclusively for these things out in the air, his color of his phone case and his fingernails, and he's, Jesus, the first Zoomer quarterback we have. The flip side of that is J.J. McCarthy. Like, hey, how good of a passer is he? They're like, man, have you felt his handshake? Like that, and it's like, oh, okay. So, like, the guys who you can only compliment by things they do before the game start are usually not going to hit. And the guys who you can only criticize by things that happen outside of the game are usually going to hit.
I like that, too.
And so here's what I'll say, Coach. There is no such thing, I understand, as a literal can't miss. But in the last 20 years, the quarterbacks who were consensus, no doubt, no debate, number one picks, all hit. The guys who there wasn't an argument about who should go, Eli, Stafford, Luck, Burrow, Trevor. We can say the jury's out on Trevor. That's fine. But it's not out on him being the best of his class. That's not out. And I think he's going to be a great player. We'll see. The class was Zach and Trey and Justin and Matt.
You have that right now.
And so if Caleb's tape doesn't impress you, then in my opinion, this would be my question to you because I don't know how you feel. If Caleb's tape doesn't impress you, then I don't think anything in college football can impress you from a quarterback perspective. That's what I would say.
Yeah, so the idea of can't miss, that's not realistic. And with Trevor, everybody said the same thing. He can't miss, and the jury is still out. And what year are we on now?
I mean, right. He's played three.
We've played a lot of football. So for the jury to be out at this point, you know, it's far from a can't miss. With him, I watched him. I understand why you have the comparisons to Patrick in terms of the plays that he makes outside the pocket. There's a bunch of wild plays on tape here, like, I can't believe he made that play. And those things are all incredible. My concern comes from, if he's going to be that make something happen guy in pro football, is it going to be to his detriment? Is his answer always going to be to get out of the pocket, to go try to make plays? Because it is very different in pro football than it is in college football in terms of how quickly windows close, how much faster guys are, the need to stay in the pocket, all those things. And it could put the Bears at risk, and it could put him at risk for injury if that's what he's relying on. So that's my biggest concern with him is he going to be able to control that instinct of just getting out of the pocket right now to try – or – always trying to make a play when a play is not there.
So I just want to ask you a question about it real quick. Because to me, last year, when the offensive line was mediocre, when he didn't have the receivers, when it was all on him, he was always trying to make a wow play. Also because he knew that once the other team gets the ball, they're going to score.
45.
Right, that we're going to have to score 50 or we're going to lose. The year before, when he had more talent around him, I didn't see a player who was always like, okay, at first sign of trouble, I'm getting out of here. I saw a guy doing a lot of the things you're talking about. Like, I am not concerned that if he has a stable environment around him, that he won't take the layups, that he won't do those things. And I don't know where you fall.
Yeah, and that's my, after watching him on tape, that was my biggest takeaway is he going to put himself at risk? We've talked about this with Carson Wentz when he was there. Mark Sanchez, different guys, hey, they won't go down. They're taking unnecessary hits. Is he going to be that guy? Is he going to feel the pressure of being the number one pick and having to make every single play for the Bears? Mm. Where in pro football, sometimes the best decision is to just throw the ball away, but that takes some maturity to get there. And the off-the-field things, we could say they're not important, but they are important because you have to go in, you have to lead a locker room that's not filled with college kids, it's filled with adults who have kids, who have lives, and it's a different type of environment, and he needs to be able to fit in there, and not only fit in there, but he needs to lead because by virtue of his position and where he's drafted. So those are legitimate concerns when you talk about the character of the player.
Yeah, look, I like him the best of all the quarterbacks in this draft. But I do think there is a legitimate football criticism, not just the off-the-field stuff. And that is on time. Can he be on time and not just go for the big plays, as you said, Coach? I do like the fact, obviously, you like the playmaking ability. I also like the fact that he was in a situation last year where he didn't have the greatest supporting cast. And I think sometimes, Mac Jones, sometimes we've seen quarterbacks where they do have all these, everything is great around them, and then they get into the NFL where it's not, and they struggle. So I like him a lot. But there's no such thing, obviously, as a can't miss at quarterback.
Coach, quickly, if he's on the right trajectory as a can't miss, at what point in the year will you say, yep, you're like game five, you're
will he say
great.
No, game 55?
Look, I really do believe it takes a few years. Look, I mean, if you look at Mac Jones, he made the Pro Bowl.
Right.
He had a great completion percentage. They had a winning record. Everybody thought that this was going to continue, you were going to continue to climb that ladder, but it's hard. It's hard work, and it's monotonous, and there's so many things that you have to continue doing to be great, and not everybody is wired for greatness.
Yeah. And by the way,
it's hard to be wired for greatness when you have a...
But coach's standard wild... Coach, we were in overtime of this year's Super Bowl. And Coach turned to me and said, jury's still out on Patrick. I mean, it wasn't until that touchdown to McColl that he finally bought it.
Finally.
T-Wolves in Denver. Christian Brown goes right at Rudy Gobert, who is going to be the defensive player of your brew. He has your vote or no?
Well, I don't know. You might have lost it here.
I think I'm going Wimby.
I told you.
I think I'm going Wimby.
There was no question he was going Wimby. He had his eyes on
I mean, how many times you got to block seven shots in a game to get
bronze medal?
To get high team.
Luka, 29-9-9. The Mavs keep surging. The Heat keep being pretty hard to figure out. Silver medal. Devin Booker, he had 37-4. And if you didn't stay up late to watch this game, I understand you're going to see a 16-point victory. The Clippers rested every one of their starters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a tie game in the fourth quarter. The Suns are not really inspiring confidence. No, gold medal, Joker, 41-11-7. Retake first place, and he locks up the MVP, right or wrong. There is the podium from last night, the association.
Denver wins alone at the top in the West. Game up on Minnesota and OKC. Spurs and Grizzlies round out the season for them. Brew, now that they should have the number one seed, it's not totally locked. Do you think anyone... No, you know, I'll change the question. Who's their biggest threat?
It might be Dallas.
It is Dallas.
But I don't think anybody... Like, I don't think Dallas beats them in a seven-game series.
Right.
What you saw last night... And I think Minnesota's a threat, too. Those two teams really... What you saw last night is what they do. They hang around. You're in it.
They're the best quarter. Down... And that's just a credit
to Jokic. We saw with
Jokic
the Lakers
is, right.
every game last
but
year.
But Dallas presents year. A unique challenge because of the perimeter scoring.
Speakers next. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:00.